Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby.
But yeah, welcome Pastor Shane. Excited to hear what it is that God's given you to give to us. Over to you.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, Steve. Yeah, good to be back behind the lectern. And bringing what God's got for us today. It's raining some today. So, yeah, but God is good. We're not dictated to by the weather or anything else. We are dictated to by a loving Father who knows what's best for us, who knows what our futures hold, who knows what it is to live in a hope that never fails. And today I want to encourage us and just take us down a bit of a road of God's love. Now, there's lots of things we can look at and say that for Christian living, that's foundational. There's lots of things that are foundational. We'll say, okay, well, to get that and grasp that, that's foundational. But to live the Christian life, it is so important to understand that you are loved by God. And none of it makes sense. None of the stuff we read in the Bible, none of the stuff we do, none of the things that we partake in make any sense if we don't accept the fact that we are loved by God. Because that everything flows from there. God is love. Not love is God. God is love. And if God is love, then that means that we are living in the fullness of that, when we live in the fullness of God. But sometimes, you know, life shakes us, doesn't it? Sometimes things happen and we just feel shaken to the core. We are shaken. And it's at those times when sometimes that love comes into question. If God is love, or if God loves me, then why? If this happens, then how come? I don't feel loved. I don't feel that this is where I'm at. You know, when life shakes us, and there's loads of ways that happens. And for everybody, it's different. For some people, it's massive scale. For some, it might seem small scale. You know, when your health fails, when you lose your job, when you get divorced, when your dream flops, when you make that one bad decision, what do you do when something that has defined you your entire life is gone? When your platform disappears? When your perfect family is torn apart? When you go bankrupt? When your looks fade? We're all beautiful in God's eyes regardless, but you know, we're so kind of like fed something these days, aren't we, where it's all about one thing. And we look at this list of things and, you know, you might, as I read those things, you might think, yeah, well, I've experienced that, I've experienced that, I've experienced all of those, or I've experienced, you know, but those things happen. The life that we live, life shakes us. It comes in and it causes us to be in a situation where we're shaken and we're stirred and we're shaken and stirred. Not in the James Bond kind of way. We're shaken and it's tough at moments like these. And it's easy to question who we are in those moments. We don't just question what's going on, but we question, who am I? When my life, or even like ministry and things that I do, feel like they're crumbling at these times, I wonder the same thing. I start to think to myself, well, who am I? Who is Shane? Who am I? How does this all work? How does this all fit? And I often have to remind myself that I'm the person that God called to do this particular task. I am God's called person to do something. Or do I listen to that? Or do I listen to that I'm the person who's been told a number of times their teaching's not deep enough, I don't do enough, I'm not here for that thing, I'm not there for that thing. And all these different things, which, you know, are all comments that are made at certain times. Do I choose to believe those things? Or do I choose to believe that I'm who God's called me to be? And we all find that in our time, because things will come against us and comments will be made towards us that start to cause us to question, well, who am I? This situation's going on. This is being said. I'm just not sure anymore. I don't know where I stand anymore. And the dictionary definition, it defines identity as who someone is, the name of a person, the qualities, beliefs, etc., that make a particular person or group different from others. And you are different, and we are unique, and God loves us in that. He doesn't love us all because we're the same. He loves us because of our unique abilities and skills which he created us and gave us. But when I get to that place of thinking, okay, all this is going on and I'm questioning things and things are a challenge and things are just not how I expected them to be, I like to say that identity comes not necessarily from who we are, but whose we are. Now, so often in the world and in life today, we're told that our identity is based on who we are. But as a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, it is defined by whose we are. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Before I'm a son, a husband, a father, a pastor, a leader, I'm his son. And if I was to remove that belonging to God and try to find my identity and the things that come with that, I wipe out the foundation. I wipe out the very thing that sustains me and holds me to be able to do those other things with God's ability. As soon as I lose sight of whose I am and let my focus get too focused on what I am and who I am, I start to lose it and things start to crumble. Yes, I try to be the best son that I can to my parents, but I'm always going to fail in that. I'm always going to do something wrong. Not so much these days. You grow up, don't you, and you don't cause your parents as much hassle anymore. I like to think I didn't cause my parents too much of a problem, really. I was the second sibling, and I kind of learned all my lessons from my older brother. I just used to like sit back in the background, kind of like watching, okay, well, he's done that, and that's kind of not worked out very well, so I'll take note and not do that. And I kind of like learn the lesson from all his failings and think that's kind of causing a bit of an issue, so I probably won't do that. But we try to do that. A husband, I try to be the best husband that I can be. And, you know, I am the best husband in the world. In my eyes. I am in Sam's eyes as well, because we were made for each other. We fit together perfectly. And I try to be the best husband I can be, but I don't find my identity in being a husband. I try to be the best father I can be. I try to be the best dad I possibly can be to Elijah and to Joey. I try to do that every single day with God's help. I try to be the best father I possibly can be, but there's still times where, you know, it's just like, I can't handle this, God. If I don't put my child in the Thompson's Kids Club, I'm going to throw him off the balcony. He's driving me mad. He's going in the kids club. Whether he wants to or not, he's going there. You know, we try to hold it together. And, you know, parenting of all the jobs in the world is probably the most difficult job ever. But it's one that brings the most blessing. Have you noticed that sometimes the things that are the most challenging bring the most rewards with them? The things that you fight the hardest for, you respect the most. The things that you've had to work the hardest for, you really love it. Even when you were a kid, if you had to save up for something, you really loved that thing that you saved up for, didn't you? More than the thing that was just given to you. And it's, as a pastor, I try my best to do God's will. I try my best to be the best pastor I can be to the church here, to do what I can, to do what God's telling me to do, to listen to God, to pray, to preach, to do all the things that God wants me to do. I work my hardest to be a good pastor and a good leader, but yet it's still, I don't find my true identity in that, because who knows, I might not always do that. I'm always going to be a father, I'm always going to be a husband, I'm always going to be a son, but things might change in my situation and scenario. And if I tie up my identity in one particular thing, a bit like this, when that platform's not there, who am I? I'm still God's son. Yeah. So at the moment, my identity gets connected to those things, but the full picture isn't based on necessarily what I do, but whose I am. I'm God's son, because I am loved by him. The foundation of who I am is grounded in my faith, not in what I do. In a God who loves me, in a God who gives me purpose, in a God who sees the big picture, in a God who always has a greater plan. A God who always has a greater plan. Who am I? I'm the object of his love. I'm the object of God's love. And so are you. Of all of creation, Of all of the things, of the amazing things that God created, he chose mankind to be the object of his love, to the point that he was willing to send his own son to die for us. So much so, are you the object of his love? Not based on your identity as what you do or who you are, but based on the fact that you're his. You're the object of his love, the object of his desire. So much so is Father God's love towards you. Amen? Yeah. Yes. That is a powerful thing. When you just stop and think about that for a moment, God, you love me. Not because of what I'm doing, not because of who I am, not because of what I've done, but because I'm yours. I am your chosen son. And any parent would say that regardless of what happens with their child, that love doesn't go. You might not always like what your child does, but you always love your child. And you're always ready to give them that hug when they need one. A lot of the times with Elijah, when he can't get himself back from a tantrum or anything, sometimes just grab hold of him and give him a hug. And it just kind of, everything just melts away then. Because again, love is powerful. And if a human father is able to do that with his son or daughter, how much more is our Heavenly Father able to do that with you when you're throwing a tantrum? You do throw tantrums, don't you? You have hissy fits at God, don't you? You do. God, why is this going on? You do turn into a child, feet stamping and everything. You don't? That's just me? I'm sure you do. I've seen some of you do it. So I know you do. But he's still ready to just lap us up. I love you. I love you. I love you. And it just kind of melts away. And for that split second, it's not about what you're doing, who you are, your gift, your role, your call. It's about you and Father God in that father-child relationship, which just makes everything else look like nothing. And you move on from that place of, yeah, I'm loved by God. Every day we need to come into the arms of God. Every day we need reminding the fact that we are loved by God, that we are his object of love. And that's a powerful thing that when we do that, and there's a film called Warrior. It's probably not the most female kind of film. It's about cage fighting. And it's about two brothers, and they've kind of like, for whatever reason, there's one of the best cage fighters is a woman, actually. But anyway, I'm just making a gross overstatement there. I do apologize. Maybe you like cage fighting, but I'm just speaking from my experience. And I know that Sam wouldn't like it and my mum wouldn't like it. So there you go. That's all I've got to work with. And it's these two brothers who, they're both cage fighters. And for whatever reason throughout their life, they've fallen out and there's been a big family bust up and they've gone their own separate ways, and there's almost this hatred has developed, particularly with the younger brother towards the older brother, and you don't really know why, but it's just there. There's a hatred there, and eventually it gets to the stage where they're going to face each other in the ring, and they're going to have this fight, and eventually the older brother gets the upper hand on the younger brother, and he's got him in a lock, and he's just holding him there, and the younger brother's just thrashing and just going kind of like crazy. And all of a sudden, the older brother just has hold of him and just starts saying to him, I love you. I love you. I love you. And he just stops and just melts and he stops thrashing and it just completely breaks him. And they're able to kind of move forward from that point then and break through this relationship and challenge of whatever it is that they've had. And you never really know, apart from the fact that their dad's an alcoholic and they've had this really rough background. But those few words, I love you, just cuts through the whole thing. And sets this whole new level. And just how God, when he does that to us, when he takes a hold of us and says, I love you, how it breaks through so much stuff, how it breaks through what it is that we're struggling with. And so while I may get hurt, disappointed, or frustrated by the negative side of life, my foundation doesn't have to change. Everything else is changing all the time, isn't it? You just don't know whether you're coming or going. This person's leading the country, or no, that person's leading the country. And, you know, it's like we're in Europe, we're out of Europe. It's the pound's okay, the pound's not okay. You can buy that on the Tesco website, but now we're in Brexit and now you can't anymore because I can't negotiate a deal. And, like, yeah, Marmite's one of them, so that's not going to be a major issue for me anyway. Marmite's and pot noodles, it's like, well, you can leave them off your website anyway for me. But anyway, but some people are going to be disappointed. People who do their online shopping at Tesco, that might be the end of their world. They can't have pot noodles delivered to their house anymore. So, but, you know, all these things that are changing, one minute you're on this, next minute you're on that, and that gets a challenge, and all these things are going on around us, and people are saying things, and things are happening, and things are not going how we expected. But despite the disappointment, the hurt, and the frustrations of the negative side of life, which there is one, because of the world that we live in, our foundation of the fact that we are a child of God and we are loved by God doesn't change. And if our foundation is firm and sure and fixed in that revelation of who we are in Christ, first and foremost, loved as a child of God, it doesn't matter what comes our way, what we face, if we stay planted on that foundation, we will not move. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life, is the song used to go, the old song. While the, whatever it says, basically, you know, will your anchor hold in the storms of life? I can't remember how the rest goes now. But anyway, it's a really good song. But this is saying about as the billows roll, as the winds come, as you're getting battered, is your anchor going to hold? And when your anchor's Christ, yes, it is. When your foundation's Christ, yes, it is. It's not made on sand. It's not made on something that's going to move. It's a good, strong foundation that regardless of what comes its way, it stays firm. It stays strong because that love of God overcomes everything. It overcame everything and it continues to overcome everything. Even if you're wrestling with internal feelings, you can hold on to God's truth. I know he's got a plan for me, even when I don't know what it is. He's got a plan for me. I know that he's got a plan. It might not be what I expected and it might not turn out the way that I imagined, but he has a plan. And that doesn't change. Jeremiah 29:11. Such a well-known scripture. It's another one of those ones which Christian companies will manage to print onto anything they possibly can. Rulers, pencil sharpeners, mugs, ties, anything that can be printed or embossed, this scripture's probably been on it. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Now, this particular scripture, you know, Jeremiah's not speaking to an individual here. When Jeremiah's bringing this word of God, he's speaking to a whole nation. He's speaking to the nation of Israel when they're exiled and they're captured and hope seems lost. The future seems grim. The future seems dull. He comes and he speaks through the prophet Jeremiah and says that I have a plan for you. It's good, not disaster. I'm giving you a future and a hope. Now, this scripture, there's something key within the fact that this particular scripture wasn't spoken to an individual. It was spoken to a nation, which means it's for everybody. There's no age restriction on this. There's no limit. There's no kind of like, well, I've got to this certain point, so I'm too old to activate this scripture now. How can I have a future and a hope when I'm already at this stage of my life? How can I have a future and a hope when I've strayed so far away? How can I have a future and a hope when I can't see what that future and a hope is? This was spoken to a whole nation. Every person in that nation received this word from the Jeremiah. It wasn't just to a specific person. It was to everybody. And yes, it was spoken to Israel while they were exiled. But yet, through the death of Christ Jesus, we are able to activate and access those promises that were spoken to the nation of Israel. They still stand for them. Their promises still stand. We don't buy into replacement theology as a church. We just don't. Some people do. God's finished with them and now we've taken their place. That's not true. We're just blessed to be able to come alongside for the ride. God hasn't changed his mind. He's just increased the capacity. Okay? He didn't get a new bus. He just put a new level on it. Okay? It's just the way it is. But we're blessed to be able to come in now and say, this is for me. Yes, it was spoken to a whole nation, but I'm taking a hold of this personally. Yes, it was spoken to people years and years and years ago, but yet God's speaking it to me. How blessed are we that through Christ Jesus, we now can enter into every promise that was spoken to the nation of Israel. God's chosen people, God's chosen nation that he loves and continues to love and calls back to himself. How blessed that through Jesus we are now enter in to those promises. Every single one of them. I love that. I love that. Jew and Gentile now able to receive through him. Amazing stuff. But we take a hold of this today. And knowing that we have a loving Father that has a future and a hope for us, regardless of where we're at, regardless of what's happening, because he loves you. I'm here to tell you today that he loves you. Some people need to hear this today. You've been questioning whether God loves you. You've got things going on in your life. You've got things happening and you're just thinking, God, do you even care? I've heard people say that before when I've told them about, well, God wants to do this. Yeah, but does he even care? Yes, he does. Yes, he does, because he loves you, because you are the object of his love. This is what identity is about. It comes from God, and it gives us a future and a hope. He calls out to you today, I have a future and a hope for you, because I love you. It might not look how you expected it to look. It might not even make sense at the moment. You might not know. You might not even be able to comprehend God's love, because it's very rare that we see something in humanity that demonstrates the immensity of God. There's little glimmers where there's certain things that happen and you read something and you read a story and you think, that just brings me a little bit closer to understanding the love which God showed, the love which he showed when he gave his one and only son, when the innocent died for the guilty. Upon researching this particular message, I came across a story which I kind of love finding these little stories when I'm just searching through things. And this one really moved me. And yeah, I'll try and tell the story without crying, but it's one of those ones that kind of tears you up a little bit. So this is based, in Vietnam. And an accidental explosion had gone off, which had injured a number of orphans which were around that area. And the medical staff had moved in. And they were struggling with communication with, there was some American medical staff and also some Vietnamese there, but they were struggling to communicate between them. And there was one little girl who, she'd been badly hurt and she needed a blood transfusion to save her life. And the two American medical staff had taken a blood test and they weren't the right blood group for this particular girl. So between them and a little bit of help with trying to put together a message, they made an appeal to everybody else that was there, the young kids and everybody else, and explained the fact that this young girl needed to give blood so that she could have a blood transfusion and live. And as they were explaining, a little hand went up and it went down again, and then it went up and it went down again. Eventually the hand went up and stayed up, and this little boy had volunteered, and thankfully he had the right blood group. So they placed him on the table and put the needle in. Anybody that's ever given blood before will know the process. And he was perfectly well when they put him on the table. And then once they started to take blood, he started to shake. Then he'd cry. Then he'd put his fist in his mouth. And it was just becoming more and more distressed. And they became concerned. And they weren't sure what was going on. And they managed to get one of the Vietnamese nurses to come in, who came along eventually, and to do a bit of translation. And she spoke to him, and he was more and more upset. And eventually, she said a few words, and he calmed down, and he was fine. And they asked for a translation, and they said, what's the matter? And they said that through the translation, it had got mixed up, and he hadn't fully understood. And he thought that he was going to die if he gave his blood. And the staff were just amazed, and they turned and said, well, why did he do that? And he just said, because she's my friend. And I was just like, that's amazing. What an amazing picture of love. What an amazing picture. And yeah, that just completely moved me to think, yeah, we had a God who gave his one and only son. We had Jesus who was willing because of the power of that love, to step into our place and not just thinking he was going to die, knowing he was going to die in our place, knowing the torture and the physical torture, but more so the spiritual torture of being separated from the Father, something that had never happened in the whole of eternity. At that moment, the Father and the Son were going to be separated. But yet, that love drove him to that place. That love drove him to do what it is that we now live in the fullness of, because you loved and because he loves you. So before I get on to the next bit, whose are you? You're God's. How do you see yourself? How do you see yourself? Because that's a big one. Do you see yourself as a title or a role? Or do you see yourself as whose you are first and foremost? That everything comes from that. Everything pours out from that. I love when Paul writes his letters. He always talks about not just what he is, but whose he is. And that's great. He had that revelation of what it was to be in Christ Jesus. He's a servant of God. He always introduces himself. And some people kind of start doing that sometimes, don't they? They introduce themselves in a letter or an email and use a similar introduction to Paul. But he had an understanding of what it was to be in Christ. How do you think God sees you? How do you think God sees you? You can find out. If we're going to have a worship team just to come up and play for a bit, if we keep the recording going at this stage as well. As the worship team play, I just want to minister today. Well, I say minister, let the word do the ministering today. From Psalm 103. This particular psalm is just a great snapshot of what it is to be loved by God. To be in that place of knowing that you're a child of God, and what that looks like, what that means, and how that works for us. So just as I'm reading this, if you want to close your eyes, if that helps you to concentrate, and let God speak to you today. Let God tell you, show you, assure you of the fact you are his, you are the object of his love, and you are loved by him. Not because of who you are, but because of whose you are. Because you're his. He loves you because you're his. I don't love my kids because of what they do or because of the things that they try to do. I love them because they're mine. They're my kids, and I love them more than any other child in the world because they're mine. There's lots of other people that I love and lots of other people that I have that heart connection with, but my own children, just as we are God's children. Just let this minister to you right now. Let God work. Just as I read from Scripture this morning, let everything that's been said sink in. And let this just wash over you. It's called a cleansing. We're all about washing ourselves in the Word and cleansing ourselves in the Word. And this morning I want us to do that. Psalm 103. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed his character to Moses and in his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the heights of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Our days on the earth are like grass, like wild flowers, we bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone, as though we were never there. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation to the children's children. Of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandments. The Lord has made the heavens his throne, for there, from there he rules over everything. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening for each of his commands. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve him and do his will. Praise the Lord, everything he has created, everything in all his kingdom. Let all that I am praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord together now. Let's stand. And let that work in you as you sing your praises and adoration to the one who pours out his love to you. Know that you sing to your Father because you're loved by the Heavenly Father. Know that if you've strayed away, just like in the prodigal son, he doesn't just wait for you to return. He runs out to meet you today. He runs out to take a hold of you in those loving arms and tell you that he loves you. God loves you. Not for what you've done, but because of what he's done. Not because of how things look, but because of the fact that you are his. Your identity is not tied up in who you are, but whose you are. You are a child of God. Just say that to yourself. I'm a child of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Loved by God. Protected by God. Provided for by God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing our praises to our Heavenly Father, who loves you with everlasting love, who pours out love and tender mercies into your life, not just today, but for every single day. Don't question his love for you. Know that that love is the foundation and the bedrock of your faith, because you trust in him. Let's worship together.